You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Unto the Lord today. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. Let's love Him today. I praise You, oh God. I praise You, oh King. I worship You and honor Your name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. What an honor it is to be here today in this great congregation, Mission Point. I so admire the concentration that is placed upon missions, both in the naming of the church and in the history of this great church and this great province. We stand in other parts of the Apostolic Fellowship in a respect and awe of how the Lord has used the Atlantic District and St. John, New Brunswick, to send missionaries throughout the world. And we many times point to this province as we inspire others to give, because some of the missionaries that have impacted the world, many of them have come right from this province. And so when you speak their names in other places, everybody knows who you're talking about, because they've all got family that have been touched and blessed by their ministry, or they themselves have been blessed by their ministries. And so it's just a beautiful thing. And to be able to partner with you today in the giving to missions is a unique joy to me. So I thank you, Bishop, for allowing me to be here and to be here this weekend. What a delight it has been. And I give honor to this great pastor and pastor's wife and pastoral team and this great congregation. You're blessed. Amen. Could you give the Lord a hand clap of praise for the blessing that has come to your church? Amen. And to meet with many of you and to talk with you, I just am so blessed to have been able to do that. I'm reading this morning from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16. And I will invite your attention to the 15th verse, Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. And we'll read through to verse 17. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Praise God. And I'd like to take a few moments this morning on this Missions Conference Sunday, when the Lord, I believe, is going to do some mighty things in our midst. I'm going to speak to you on this subject, the motives and metrics for sacrificial giving. The motives and the metrics for sacrificial giving. Praise God. Let's lift up the Lord today and praise and ask for His blessing upon the preaching of His word. Lord, I thank you for your people, and I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for this gathering of the faithful. Lord, we seek to honor you today with the giving of offerings that we know will go, O God, to the furtherance of your great gospel that saves to the uttermost. Use us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Help us, I pray, to be sensitive to your voice, that we may know how to give, that we may know how to be a blessing. Lord, I thank you for this and give you all praise and glory and honor. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I have the honor today to speak to you about sacrificial giving. And I say honor to do so, but sometimes it's an unenviable task. Not everybody enjoys hearing about sacrificial giving. And if you don't enjoy listening to a message about sacrificial giving, you ought to try preaching one sometime. It's just a lot of fun. But I have learned that if you don't talk about sacrificial giving, you are depriving the people of God from the blessing of the Lord. Because there is a blessing of God that is inherent in the giving of offerings sacrificially. And so we want to talk about that. And I could spend a good deal of time today telling you about the many miracles that have come as a result of sacrificial giving. And there are miracles even in this room. Those of you who have given to the Lord in missions, those of you who have given faithfully to the house of God for these many years, we could have a testimony service today of the many miracles God has performed and the many provisions He has given in the form of bonuses and in the form of inheritances and in the form of interest that you didn't even know you had coming your way. And God just opens the windows of heaven and pours out blessings upon us that we do not have room enough to receive. And it's one testimony after another. Those of you who have given for some time now, you know what I mean when I say the economy of God is different than the economy of man. The global economy may suffer. The global economy may stagnate. The global economy may slow down. But the economy of God is not dependent upon the economy of man. And God's economy is forever steadfast, sure, and reliable. You know that when you sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh corruption. But when you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit life everlasting. Amen. One miracle report after another will come in following our service today. When you begin making commitments and when you begin fulfilling those commitments, there is an unlocking and an unleashing of the kingdom of God. And I can tell you miracles that I've experienced and have seen in our local church. My mind thinks back to a wonderful couple in our church. He had been trying, Pastor, for some time to get a job. He was out of work. His wife had a successful career, but he had been laid off and was trying to gain employment, and he was finding it hard to do. And he put his application out all over the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, to no avail. And he was trying to his best to get a job. He'd get a little nibble, and then it would be pulled from him. And one day, he came down on a Sunday morning to his wife, and they were getting ready to go to church. He had tears in his eyes. And he said, I feel like the Lord has spoken to me. He said, we're supposed to write a check, a major sacrificial offering. And she said, oh, you sure about that? He said, yeah. She said, how much are you thinking? He said, whatever's in our savings account. She said, oh, how about you get that job first, and then we'll talk about the savings account. He said, no, I have to do it. I have to do it today. I believe God told me to do it this morning. They walked into the church. They gave everything they had in savings, gave it to the work of God. And the next morning, that was on Sunday, on Monday morning, he receives a call from the University of Cincinnati, and they said to him, they said, did you apply for a job here 5 months ago? And he said, I did. They said, well, we don't have that job even in existence anymore that you applied for. But they said, we've created a new job, and we think you're the guy for it. And he went in, that was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and they gave him a job, and not only did he receive immediate employment, but his children are guaranteed college education free because of his employment at the university, and his oldest daughter's already benefiting from it. Left to his own devices, left to his own approach, it was not working out well. But when he trusted in the economy of God and he put forth that sacrificial offering, there came back to him 100-fold the blessing of the Lord, something that he never could have developed for himself. Thinking of another gentleman in our church who, when we were raising the money to build our building, we were in the middle of a capital campaign, and I had called the leaders together. The leaders were going to make a commitment, and then we were going to present that commitment to the church. And among the leaders was a young couple, a wonderful young couple, but they had just had their child in the hospital, the NICU, and that child, the Lord miraculously brought out of that situation. She was born premature. She weighed 2 pounds when she was born, but the Lord lifted her up and completely healed that baby, and she's dancing and running all around our church today, and I give God praise for it. Amen. She's about 7 years old. The Lord is good. He's a healer, and He's a deliverer. But when we were raising the money, we brought the leaders together, and I told them, like I'm going to tell you today, that the Lord is going to put a number in your mind. The Lord is going to fix a number in your mind and in your heart. And let that be that step of faith that you take. And so I made this declaration, and I called the leaders forward. And this young man came just fresh out of the hospital, and they had a mountain of medical bills that they owed. They owed $50,000, what they owed. They owed $50,000. And he's coming to the front, and I'm up here saying, God's going to give you a number, and you're going to be moved upon by the Lord to give. And he's standing there thinking, God, I've got nothing to give. I am without any kind of resource. We have just come through the most devastating time of our life financially, and we have $50,000 worth of medical bills that are due, and I don't know what to do about it. And Lord, I don't have any way to give you anything. And the pastor's calling for me and others to serve as an example to the flock. And I feel like a fraud up here. Just I don't have anything to give. And so I said, I want you right now to pray and ask the Lord to lead you as to what you'll give to the kingdom of God. And he said, Lord, what do I give when you don't have anything to give? And the Lord said, you're going to give $50,000. He said, but Lord, that's what I owe in medical debt. I have no discretionary income of that kind. And the Lord said, you're going to give $50,000. Make that commitment. And he did. He made that commitment. And for a year, he couldn't do anything about it. It was a 3-year program that we had. For a year, he had no way to make good on that commitment. He had 3 years to make good on the commitment. And he said, Lord, I need help. I've made this commitment you told me to make. God began to order his steps. God began to direct his steps. To make a long story short, within 2 years, he had that $50,000 worth of medical debt paid off, and he had given the $50,000 to the work of God. And when he finished doing that, he said, Lord, thank you for letting me give that $50,000. And the Lord said, do it again. And he did it again. He gave another. That's how the Lord had blessed him in that small amount of time. I've come to tell you that there is an inherent blessing in sacrificial giving. It does open the windows of heaven. It does unlock and unleash the power of God to operate in your life. This is not a fairy tale, and it doesn't make any sense. We can't put our facts and figures on it and tell you how it goes. We don't know how the bones do grow in the womb. We don't know what is the way of the Spirit. We just know that the Scripture commands us to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And we thank the Lord for this. But as beautiful as that truth is, and as powerful as those testimonials are, that we could all go around the room. I know I could pass the mic around and people would say, oh yes, I didn't have a job, but when I gave, the Lord gave me a job. And I gave something I didn't even know that we would have, but by the end of the year, we had fourfold what I committed to God. I know I could do that today, and you would testify one after another. But I will have you to know, even though there's a blessing in that kind of giving, that is not why we are motivated to give unto the Lord. We do not give because we want to gain from it ourselves. That is not our purpose. There is a different motivation. It is true that when you give unto the Lord, He'll give some more to give. It is true that when you give unto the Lord, He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing you will not have room enough to receive. But that's not the motivating factor as to why we give unto the Lord. The passage of Scripture that I've read to you today contains in it the principles that God laid out for Israel. And those principles express to us today why we give unto the Lord. He said, 3 times a year shall all of your males bring an offering to the Lord. I want them to gather, and I want them to come not empty-handed. I want them to put something in their hand, and I want them to bring those offerings unto the Lord 3 times a year. And in those 3 times, there were 3 feasts, and these 3 feasts contained the motivating principles for why we give to the Lord. This is why God wanted Israel to give in those feasts at those times during the course of a year. And it's why we're going to give today. The first was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the second was the Feast of Weeks. And the third was the Feast of Tabernacles. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this Feast of Unleavened Bread was connected to that moment when the Lord began to protect his people from that angel that passed through Egypt. It's connected to that Passover moment. I will tell you that when they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread throughout the history of Israel, they were doing it for 2 reasons. They were doing it because they were grateful for what the Lord had done, and they were doing it because they were anticipating the real Passover. So 2 motivating factors, gratitude and anticipation. This is why we give to the Lord. We give to the Lord out of gratitude, and we give unto the Lord out of anticipation. What were they grateful for? They were grateful because on that night, the most terrifying night any of them had ever experienced, it was promised that an angel was going to pass through Egypt, and that angel was going to bring death with it. And the firstborn of every household was going to be killed by this angel that brought death. And the Bible, we call it Passover. Anybody ever heard the term Passover? Well, yeah, we're very used to that term, but that's not how that night started. That night wasn't called Passover until the Lord showed them how to make death Passover. But it was originally called Pass-Through. He said the angel is going to pass through Egypt. It was going to be a slaughter. It was going to be an absolute death camp, if you please. It was going to be a horrifying experience. But the Lord said, if you'll take the blood of a lamb, slay that lamb, a spotless lamb, and take the blood of that lamb and paint the blood of that lamb over the doorposts of your home. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will Passover. That's the first time we encounter that word, Passover you. That blood of the lamb turned what was meant to be a pass through into a Passover. When they would celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were celebrating that night that the Lord delivered them from the death angel. The night that the Lord delivered the firstborn of their home from that awful, terrifying death experience. The blood of the lamb painted upon the doorpost of their home. But I want you to know, they weren't just celebrating what the Lord had done, but they were celebrating what the Lord was getting ready to do. Because that lamb that was slain in Egypt on that night wasn't just a lamb in and of itself, but it was pointing to the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. And the real Passover, hallelujah, not the symbol found in the book of Exodus, but the substantive Passover that would occur in the death of Jesus Christ. Oh, I hear the words of John the Baptist as Jesus would come into the picture. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. They knew what he meant when he said that. He was referring to that lamb in the Old Testament Passover. He was referring to that lamb on the Day of Atonement. He was referring to that lamb, the blood that was able to defer the sins of mankind. But this lamb was unlike any of those lambs. This lamb had the power to wash away every sin stain. So when they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were celebrating what God had done and what God was going to do. That's the motivating factor. He said, when you come into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, don't come empty-handed. Bring an offering with you. And when you bring that offering, I want you to offer it in the context of what I've done and what I'm going to do. I want you to know that that's what we're doing today. We're bringing an offering today, and for two reasons: gratitude and anticipation. Grateful that He washed my sins away. Grateful that I was able to repent from my sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. Grateful, hallelujah, for the atoning power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody grateful today for the blood of Jesus Christ? In sin I wandered, sore and sad, with bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and sweetly said, I'll take your sins away. Oh yeah, you're going to be blessed, but that's not why we're giving. Oh yeah, you're going to have increase, but that's not why we're giving. You're going to walk out of here and directly into the blessing of God, but that's not why we're giving. We're giving because He washed us. We're giving because He justified and He sanctified. We're giving because He cleansed us from our sin. We're giving because of what He's done. And we're giving because of what He's going to do. Because I want you to know you're not the only one He's going to wash. And you're not the only one He's going to cleanse. And you're not the only one He's going to atone. But I want you to know it's whosoever will. It's whosoever will. Let Him come. Hallelujah. We give because we're so grateful. Can I just provoke gratitude in somebody right now? Do you remember? Do you remember what it was like when you didn't know Jesus? Do you remember the sleepless nights? Do you remember the tear-filled eyes? Do you remember the anxiety that spun out of control? Do you remember when you were lost and undone without hope? Do you remember, hallelujah, when you were sick and couldn't get well? Do you remember when your mind was plagued with sorrow and sadness and sighing? But Jesus came into the picture, and the power and the love and the grace and the mercy of God. I just wonder if there's a witness in the house that agrees with what I'm saying. Do you remember when He dried the tears from your eyes? Hallelujah, when He put a sweet and special peace upon your mind. That's why you give to missions. That's why you give to missions. I'm grateful for what He's done. But I don't just do it out of gratitude. I also do it out of anticipation, because what He's done for me, He's going to do it for people all across the world. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what they've done. Hallelujah. He's going to make that death angel pass over them when the blood is applied. When a preacher, a missionary goes down into those villages, into those cities, into the highways and the byways and preaches the gospel. I want to be a part of that. Israel, don't come empty-handed. Bring that offering to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Hallelujah. Because of what I've done and because of what I'm going to do. Praise God. And you know what they would bring to that Feast of Unleavened Bread? They would bring one single sheaf. One single sheaf. It was the very first sheaf of grain that came up. And you know what they did with that first sheaf that they brought? They'd wave it before the Lord as a wave offering. You know, that's what we do when we have a wave offering. That's why we do wave offerings. I was in a service one time, and one of the preachers said, everybody grab your handkerchief and wave it before the Lord. And we've done that for you. How many have ever had a wave offering where you're at camp meeting or something, and you're waving the handkerchief before the Lord? And a young preacher was sitting near me, and he said, why do we do that? Is that just something we just do? And I said, oh, I'm glad you asked. That's what they did with that single sheaf. That little single sheaf. It was the very first sheaf. It was the first fruit of the first fruits. The Feast of First Fruits was coming. This wasn't even the Feast of First Fruits. It was the very first fruit of the first fruits. And they would take that one single sheaf and they would wave it before the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what they were saying? They were saying, this one single sheaf is ever evidence that there's more coming. There's more coming. Hallelujah. There's a harvest coming. There are first fruits coming. One single sheaf. It might be one right now, but it's going to be a lot more than this in 7 weeks. That That's what we're doing today. We're bringing to God what we can do. We're bringing to God what we're able to do. And we're saying, but oh God, it represents so much more. This represents more that are coming. My dear friend, Pastor Michael Enzi, he was in the middle of his building program. He was our general youth president for a number of years. He's doing a great work in Heath, Ohio. And Pastor Enzi was in the middle of his building program. He said, Joel, I got to tell you what happened to me the other day. He said, I had a church planter friend who said, called me and said, man, if you could help us out, we're in need here at this church plant. Brother Enzi said, well, man, he's thinking, man, I'd love to. We're kind of in a building program. We kind of got stuff we got to do too. But yeah, what's the challenge? He said, man, I need $5,000. $5,000, that's a lot of money. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. He prayed, and he felt like, you know what? Just because you're in the building program doesn't mean that needs stop happening. So he said, you know what? In faith believing, I could use it for what we're trying to do, but in faith believing, I'm going to take that $5,000, and I'm going to give it to the church planter. And he gave it to the church planter. 48 hours later, a pastor from a different apostolic organization, not even in the United Pentecostal Church, called him and said, my friend, I don't know how to explain it, but I'm over here in prayer, and the Lord has moved upon me. I'm to give you a $50,000 check for your building program. And Brother Enzi said, I didn't even realize it at the time, but that little $5,000 was heavy in my hand. But when I waved it before the Lord, I didn't even know it was representing $50,000 that was getting ready to come my way. What you give today is going to be a small fraction of what the Lord is going to give back to you. Hallelujah. You hear what I'm telling you? Wave it before the Lord. Wave it before the Lord. God, this is what I'm able to do, but I know it represents something greater. I do it in gratitude. Thank you for a harvest. Thank you for the blessing in my life. My brother said it just moments ago when we had the two brethren to share with us prayer and testimony concerning the things of God. That, oh, give in a heart of gratitude. Give with a heart of blessing. Thank you, Lord, for my blessing. When was the last time you counted your blessings? Name them one by one. Thank him for something. Thank him for something. Thank him that we're all here today, clothed and in our right mind. Thank him that you woke up this morning. Thank him. Thank him for the blessing of the Lord. Thank him that your legs are working, that your arms are working. Thank him that your heart is beating. Thank him that your lungs are breathing. Thank him. If you got nothing else to thank him for, thank God for the blood that was shed for you. We give unto the Lord out of gratitude for what he has done. And we give unto the Lord in anticipation for what he is about to do. Hallelujah. Everything that he did for me, I'm going to take the blessing of the Lord and I'm going to put it in his hands and say, Lord, would you do for countless others what you've done for me? Oh, I know. There are bonuses coming. Interest is going to show up. There will literally be checks in the mail that you didn't even know happened. We had a lady in our church after she gave to the work of God. She gave and she got a call and they said, you have an inheritance. They said, and so we want to ask you, what's the best way to receive it? And they said, they talked about a monthly and they talked about a total sum. And she said, oh, okay. Well, she said, I'll tell you what. She said, I'll do the monthly. That'd be good. They said, okay, monthly. And so then they said, and how would you like the total sum made out? She said, well, I'm going with the monthly. They said, no, you don't understand. You're getting monthly and you're getting a total sum. She thought she had to choose between the two, but that's not how the blessings of God work. They're coming, ladies and gentlemen. The blessings of God are coming when you give a sacrificial offering unto the Lord. They just simply do. But the real motivating factor to giving is in gratitude and anticipation of what the Lord is going to do for others. The Lord said, bring that offering, that single sheaf. That single sheaf represented that one lamb that was sacrificed at the Feast of Passover. That single sheaf represented Jesus Christ, who was the single sheaf, who would be crucified. And just as this single sheaf is waved before the Lord, he would be lifted up from the earth upon the cross. But even that one that was lifted up from the earth upon the cross, he was going to represent many who were coming in. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Oh, they're coming. They're coming. Coming. Give like they're coming. In 7 weeks, that single sheaf was going to massively multiply. And it was going to multiply into a harvest of first fruits. And so when they celebrated that feast of weeks, that would give way then to the feast of what the Greeks called Pentecost and what the Jews called Shavuot. It would become the feast of Pentecost after the feast of weeks. And those 49 days would turn into the 50th day of Pentecost. And they would bring their offering unto the Lord. Once again, they would gather. He said, I want you to gather 3 times. The first time, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Second time, I want you to gather for the Feast of Weeks. And they would commemorate those 7 weeks of first fruits harvest. There was a harvest that came in the springtime. And that was the first fruits harvest. And they would celebrate. You know what they were celebrating? They were celebrating the giving of the law. That's what they were grateful for, that God had visited Moses and that he had written upon tablets of stone his holy law. And now they had a law that they could understand the difference between good and evil and right and wrong. And they understood that and they celebrated. They called it Shavuot. But it wasn't just Shavuot in celebration of what they were grateful for. That they were looking, it was pointing to something in the future. It wasn't just about what happened in the past. It was about something that was coming in the future. And I want you to know that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know why they were giving? They were giving because they were grateful for the law of God in tablets of stone. And they were giving because they were anticipating the law of God being written in their hearts. You know why we give unto the Lord? We give because we're grateful that he filled us with the Holy Ghost. We're grateful that he gave us this old time Pentecostal experience. That it's not just relegated to the book of Acts, but that it's alive and well today. And it's not just relegated to 100 years ago in tent meetings in St. John and Fredericton, but it's alive and well today. That's why we give. We give in gratitude for what he's done. And we give in anticipation. Lord, pour out that Holy Ghost in Brazil. Pour out that Holy Ghost in Kenya. Pour out that Holy Ghost in Uganda. Pour out that Holy Ghost in Germany. Pour out that Holy Ghost in Singapore. God, pour out that Holy Ghost behind the Great Wall of China. God, pour out that Holy Ghost in the underground churches in Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq. Lord, pour out the Holy Ghost. What you did for me, do it for somebody else. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you that when you care about people you don't know, God will favor you and honor you for it. When you care about people you don't know, people you don't have any connection to, God will honor you for that. He will honor you for that. Do it. Bring the offering, Israel. Bring the offering for the Feast of Weeks in gratitude for what I did for you. And in anticipation for what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Child of God, today when you give, the Lord's going to give you a number. Let that number be a worthy reflection of what he has done for you and what he is going to do throughout the world. Lord, I believe that you're going to raise up preachers of the gospel. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe that you're going to use me in the name of Jesus. And you're going to use this, you're going to use this offering that I give to you. You're going to use it to bless the world over. The third feast, he said, I want you to come at the Feast of Tabernacles. This Feast of Tabernacles was the final harvest. And he said, this Feast of Tabernacles is a final harvest. I want you to bring that final harvest. Can I tell you the final motivation for why we give? Is because there's coming a day when the tabernacle of God will be with men. Hallelujah. There's coming a day when the Lord is going to return and he's going to gather his people together. That's why we give. We give unto the Lord because we want to see people saved. We want to see people go up in the rapture. We want to see people lifted up out of this earthly despair. And we want to see them tabernacled. Hallelujah. We want to see them filled to fullness with all the fullness of God. I want that great getting up morning when all the saints shall rise. I want them to rise up from all across this world. Hallelujah. I want from the north, east, and west together. And from the south, I want a host to arise. I want the children of Abraham to gather and hold a reunion in the skies. And we will walk through the streets of that city. Hallelujah. Hey, open up your eyes and look around you. Don't you see Gog and Magog are right now coordinating plans? The kings of the east, the kings of the north, just as the ancient prophets declared it, they're coming together. They've got their eyes set on the holy city of Jerusalem. Israel is aware. They're looking around and seeing that they're being surrounded by nations. This thing is turning out just like the prophets prophesied, just like our fathers taught us. The tabernacle is coming. The feast of the final harvest is coming. And God said, bring it in. Bring in that final harvest. Give unto the Lord like he's coming back. I want you to give today unto the Lord like he's returning for his church. Give unto the Lord today like somebody's soul depends on hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 I feel the presence of the Lord here today. Give unto the Lord in gratitude for bringing you in to this final harvest, and give unto the Lord in anticipation that he's going to reach others. Hallelujah. Brother Benny DeMerchant went to South America, went to Brazil. When he got there, there's nobody there serving the Lord. He jumped on that plane and he flew around and preached the gospel all up and down the Amazon River, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to whosoever will. Brother Hanscom, thank you. Hallelujah to the Hanscom family for your years of sacrifice. Brother and Sister Hanscom, thank you for going and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far-flung nations of the earth. Hallelujah. You hear what I'm telling you? There are people with a call of God on their life. And if our giving will match their call, God will use it to bring many people into the final harvest. There's a final harvest coming. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's true. You're going to be blessed. Your children are going to be blessed. You're going to get jobs and bonuses and promotions. You're going to get people's attention. Checks are going to come in the mail. I know all of that. That's a given. But that's not why we give. That's not the motive. The motive is to see people have their sins washed away. The motive is to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. The motive is to see people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, here's the metric. Here's the metric for how you give. Now, we know that the tithe belongs to the Lord. That's the Lord's. The tenth belongs unto God. But outside of a tithe, when you're talking about free will offerings, what's the metric for a free will offering? This is what he said. As you are able, and as the Lord has blessed you. As you are able, and as the Lord has blessed you. Now, you may think, I'm not able to do much. Of course, you know, it's always good to think about budgeting differently and making some sacrifice. This is a sacrificial offering. So there's something that happens in sacrificial giving that's different than just normal giving. It's like the widow with two mites and that rich man. That rich man gave a lot more money than she did. That rich man could have bought them some stuff and the money that he put in there. But Jesus just didn't even respect it. He looked at that widow with two mites. He said, that's what I'm looking for. She gave all she had. And Jesus said, it's not about the amount. The metric isn't the amount. The metric is, are you giving what you're able to give? And are you giving as the Lord has blessed you? It's amazing. You know, people, when you start talking about giving, they many times they're like, I don't have anything to give. And then they start saying, well, if I did half of the Tim Hortons I do every week and half of the Starbucks, and before long they got all this money they didn't even know they had because they're making sacrifices. And then they start looking at things that they could sell. And they start looking at things that they could part with. Things they could put online. You can sell anything online anymore. And rid yourself of these things. And it might even hurt a little bit, but here's the thing about giving that hurts. It's sacrificial giving. And here's why it's important. This is what the Bible says. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. See, when you sow with just no concern whatsoever, I'm not going to miss this. I give you half of what I got. I'm not going to miss that. When you do that, the Lord knows that came from your abundance. But when you sacrifice, when you actually have tears as you're putting it into the hands of God and you're saying, I'm going to feel this, you're sowing in tears. The Lord said, when you sow in tears, you will reap in joy. When we made our commitment in Cincinnati, my wife and I, we made our commitment, and I was calling for everybody to sacrifice and everybody to give and sacrificial offering and everybody give. And then the Lord said, all right, Joe, what are you going to give? And I had a number that I really felt would be significant. And I felt like, yep, I could do it. And the Lord just kept pushing it higher. And I was like, slow down, Lord, slow down just a little bit. Give me a chance to catch up here on my calculator. But the number reached a point, and I knew it was of the Lord, and it scared me because I knew the only way we could do it is if we sold our home. And I said, I don't even know about that. And I said to my wife, I said, this is the number, and you know the only way we can do it is if we sell our home. And my wife's a missionary kid. I've watched her empty her purse and say, Lord, here, it's yours. She's not afraid of sacrificial giving, never has been. Thank God for that. And when I said it, she said, all right, then let's do it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I was hoping I was the one witness and she would maybe disagree and we could go back in prayer. She didn't disagree. All right, let's do it. So we planned and we started giving. Again, that was a three-year project. That was a building program. And for that building program, we had 3 years, and we got into the middle of it, and as I began to give, we were making a little dent in our commitment, but we were still going to have to sell our home. And the Lord confirmed to me, yeah, you're going to have to sell your home. And I thought, you know what, the elders did, and they lived in Sunday school classes, and you know, I guess I'm just going to have to do what my forefathers and pioneers did. And so we're getting ready to sell our house, and when we went to sell our house, it was right after COVID that we went to sell our house. And when we went to sell our home, the realtor met with us, and this is what he said. He said, your home has increased in value, and it's not going to be what you think it is. You need to raise the price on your home. And the price on our home increased to such a degree that when we sold it, it was more than what we ever dreamed it would go for. And we received the money from the home. We were able to give what we had committed to the Lord, and then were able to move into a beautiful home. And I stood there for a moment. I thought, now, I didn't think it was going to happen like that. I thought we had to sell our home, live in the van. And the Lord said, no, no, see, I told you that you were going to have to sell your home. You thought it was a sacrifice, but I was always going to bless you for the sacrifice you made. And that's what you have to know today. When you give this sacrificial offering, it's going to feel like a sacrifice now, just like the sacrifice of Calvary. But in 3 days, it's going to rise again. It's going to feel like one single sheaf. It's the only sheaf you've got, Lord. Here it is. But in 7 weeks, it's going to be a bountiful first fruits harvest. When you give a sacrificial offering today, just know, there's a blessing coming, not just to you, but to all the people that are touched and blessed by the offering that you made.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.